The Way of Spiritual Power, book number 6 in the Christian Way series, written by Zacharias Taney Fomum, narrated by Gerald Zimmerman. Preface. This book is the 6th in the Christian Way series. The books in this series are The Way of Life, The Way of Obedience, The Way of Discipleship, The Way of Sanctification, The Way of Christian Character, The Way of Spiritual Power, The Way of Christian Service, The Way of Spiritual Warfare, The Way of Suffering for Christ, The Way of Victorious Praying, The Way of Overcomers, The Way of Spiritual Encouragement, The Way of Loving the Lord. Spiritual power is needed today. The power is needed to be like Christ in character and in deed. It is the power of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Lord meant that the church as His body and the believer as a member of His body would manifest spiritual power in character and service. The church is, generally speaking, powerless. The lives of many believers are a tragic contradiction of the gospel they talk about. In the face of diseases, demons, and the like, many believers stand totally powerless. There is a growing confidence in human skills, human techniques, human methods, and human organizations. On the whole, many live and act as if God were absent. This ought not to be so. This must not continue to be so. In the life of the church and in the life of each believer, there must be power that cannot be accounted for on any grounds. People looking must be able to say, "This is God at work," and nothing else. The power of the Lord is made available to all who come to Him. His power is manifested in full measure through channels that are fully open to Him and that gives Him the freedom to do His work His way and in His time. Although spiritual power can be manifested without holiness and obedience, those who are open to and cooperate with the Lord through prayer, the Word, holiness, and a surrendered life, Christian character, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and so on, will begin to experience spiritual power, and as they continue to seek the Lord and His might, they will grow in the knowledge of Him and His might. We send out this book with prayer that it should be used by the Lord to stir hunger after the Lord and power of His might. Yaoundé, 1984, Dr. Zacharias Taney Fomum. Chapter 1. Spiritual Power in Its Totality Today. Spiritual power is the power of God's being and God's doing. This power resides fully in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Where God is fully present, His power will be fully felt. The same goes for when the Lord Jesus is present. This is not less true when the Holy Spirit is present. This era is that of the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit work together through the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was on earth, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit worked through the Son, and before then the three worked through the Father. In this dispensation, all the power of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is manifested through the Holy Spirit. All of their power resides in Him and where He is. Their power is present. He is present in man's spirit. Many wonder how someone who has not been baptized in the Holy Spirit can manifest spiritual power in a mighty way. Others wonder why another person who has not made much progress in the school of Christ-likeness in character can manifest such power. Others wonder how someone who prays so little can be so powerful. The reason for these abnormalities is this: the full power of God resides in the Holy Spirit who indwells man's spirit. The total power of God, the total power of God is at work today in the person of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit dwells in man, man is potentially able to manifest limitless power. However, the power must be released. It is released as follows: power through discipline, power through the Word, power through holiness, power through a Christ-like character, power through gifts of power, power through prayer, and power through a surrendered life. These represent the openings through which the power of the Holy Spirit, who is present in the Holy Spirit, can be manifested, flow out, and do what God wants it to do. It is obvious that this power should help people to be like God in character. The power to be. This power should also enable people to be like God in action. The power to do. This includes miracles and all others. For fullest manifestations, the full power to be and the power to do should be released. God's ultimate purpose is that the church should present to Him all the channels needed for the full manifestation of His total power. Unfortunately, believers often hinder God. They do not let Him have His way unhindered in their lives, and He will not force things through. That is why there is often a contradictory manifestation of power. God may allow someone who is unyielded to manifest power through the gifts of power. Someone who is not baptized in the Holy Spirit can attain much spiritual power through a surrendered life and/or a life of prayer, discipline, knowledge, and the use of the Word, and so on. No wonder Samson could manifest power in sin and Balaam could manifest power while maintaining a greedy heart. That is why the manifestation of power is not necessarily an indication of vital fellowship with God and why spiritual power can be lost. For example, the one whose power is released through prayer will cease to manifest spiritual power when he no longer labors with God in prayer and fasting. Can you imagine God's power as water locked up in a dam? The dam may contain plenty of water but not flow out because of the lack of outlets. If it has one outlet, some amount will flow out. If there are two, then there will be an increase in what flows out, and better still if there are three, four, or five. If all the outlets are opened, then there will be great gains in flow. The size of the outlets. All outlets are not of the same size. The outlet of a surrendered life may release power that is different in quantity and quality from that released through a life of prayer. The size of each outlet will differ from person to person, especially in the realm of gifts. All who receive the gifts of healing may not receive the gifts to the same extent. Also, the believer has the opportunity to enlarge the outlet. Faith will certainly enlarge the outlet of prayer, and discipline will enhance holy living. If we were to cooperate with the Holy Spirit to ensure that all the channels are opened and that each is opened to the fullest, then all the power of God would flow out and there would be abundant blessings. The danger of movements. Sometimes God has moved through some person and brought back to the church some lost aspect of the truth. This is wonderful. The only problem is that men soon take over and build a movement around that truth to the neglect of other equally vital aspects of the truth and say, "This is the one key." There was the truth of justification by faith alone. That was wonderful. Some measure of power is released through that. Unfortunately, there are people who stopped there. Then there was the truth of holiness or sanctification. This again was wonderful, but again many stopped there. Some discovered the power of a Christ-like character and the fruit of the Spirit. That is wonderful. The only problem is that many have stopped there. Then the Lord revealed the truth of the Holy Spirit outpoured. This again has been wonderful. The problem is that some think that the gifts of power are all that is needed, and some even think that he who has spoken in tongues has arrived. This is sad. Something worse is the seeking of spiritual gifts by people who still bow to idols, worship saints and Mary, and even reject the basic necessity of the new birth. To be safe, we must receive all the aspects of the truth that God has brought forth and refuse to build a movement. We must proclaim the whole counsel of God. We must press on for the whole counsel of God. Balaam failed ultimately. Samson failed ultimately. All who concentrate on one or more aspects of spiritual power to the neglect of others have likewise failed. In a sense, this book is terribly inadequate. It presents too little of the way of power. It is not the book. It is, at best, a book. The Bible is the book. We see only in part. Even what we see in part is not all set out here. All that we see in part of the way of power is presented in our series of 14 volumes. This is just one of them. The 14 volumes are called The Way of Life. They could easily be called The Way of Power, for the Christian way of life is also God's way of power. Jesus is the end. All the power of God is at work, so that Jesus may be all. The purpose of the gospel is to glorify Christ. The goal of the gospel, for me, is that Christ may have all of me and all that I have, and that he may have the whole world through you and me. Let us seek and desire spiritual gifts. Let us labor in the study of the Word and in prayer. Let us give ourselves without reserve to the Lord. Let us be holy, for he is holy. But above all, let us set our eyes on Jesus, for he is the fullness of God. Let us have him in his totality, and let us have him have us in our totality, and we shall see God's power mightily at work to the glory of Christ. Glory be to his holy name. Amen. Very important. If you have not yet received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I encourage you to receive him. Here are some steps to help you. Admit that you are a sinner by nature and by practice, and that on your own you are without hope. Tell God you have personally sinned against him in your thoughts, words, and deeds. Confess your sins to him, one after another, in a sincere prayer. Do not leave out any sins that you can remember. Truly, turn from your sinful ways and abandon them. If you stole, steal no more. If you have been committing adultery or fornication, stop it. God will not forgive you if you have no desire to stop sinning in all areas of your life, but if you are sincere, he will give you the power to stop sinning. Believe that Jesus Christ, who is God's Son, is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." John 14:6. The Bible says, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all." 1 Timothy 2:5-6. "And there is salvation in no one else apart from Jesus, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Acts 4:12. "But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God." John 1:12. But consider the cost of following him. Jesus said that all who follow him must deny themselves, and this includes selfish financial, social, and other interests. He also wants his followers to take up their crosses and follow him. Are you prepared to abandon your own interests daily for those of Christ? Are you prepared to be led in a new direction by Him? Are you prepared to suffer for Him and die for Him if need be? Jesus will have nothing to do with half-hearted people. His demands are total. He will only receive and forgive those who are prepared to follow Him at any cost. Think about it and count the cost. If you are prepared to follow Him, come what may, then there is something to do. Invite Jesus to come into your heart and life. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door to his heart and life, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me." Revelation 3, verse 20. Why don't you pray a prayer like the following one, or one of your own construction as the Holy Spirit leads? Lord Jesus, I am a wretched, lost sinner who has sinned in thought, word, and deed. Forgive all my sins and cleanse me. Receive me, Savior, and transform me into a child of God. Come into my heart now and give me eternal life right now. I will follow you at all costs, trusting the Holy Spirit to give me all the power I need. When you pray this prayer sincerely, Jesus answers at once and justifies you before God and makes you His child. Please write to me, ZTF Books at cmfionline.org, and I will pray for you and help you as you go on with Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to this book. If you have any question and or need help, do not hesitate to contact us through ztfbooks at cmfionline.org. If the book has blessed you, then we would also be grateful if you would leave a positive review at your favorite retailer. ZTF Books, through Christian Publishing House, CPH, offers a wide selection of best-selling Christian books in print, e-book, and audiobook formats on a broad spectrum of topics including marriage and family, sexuality, practical spiritual warfare, Christian service, Christian leadership, and much more. Visit us at ztfbooks.com. to learn more about our latest releases and special offers. And thank you for being a ZTF book reader. We would like to recommend to you the next book in the Christian Way series, The Way of Christian Service. Serving the Lord is something that is best begun in His immediate presence. When a person has served Him in His immediate presence and satisfied his heart, He may send such a one to go and serve on His behalf. Serving the Lord in His immediate presence consists essentially in worshiping Him. Of the leaders of the church in Antioch, it was said, "While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' Then, after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off." Acts chapter 13, verses 2 and 3. Barnabas and Saul were sent out to serve from the presence of the Lord to the work which God had called him. They were ministering in His presence when He sent them away to minister on His behalf. All service of the Lord ought to begin that way. Serving the Lord is invariably tied to resurrection life. No one can truly serve the Lord without that He, the Lord of all glory, has taken the initiative to bring that one into His service. This is so because those who serve Him must know death with Christ and resurrection with Him. Service is the flow of the life of God, and without resurrection life, there can be no flow. People can do many things in the Lord's name, but only that which flows from life will last. And to have the flow of life, there must first of all be death. A person will minister in proportion to the extent to which he has died and risen with Christ. Those who spare themselves the hard demands of the cross will find that they have also spared themselves the ministry of life. The extent to which a person surrenders himself to death, to the world, and the flesh is the extent to which one will know resurrection life and resurrection ministry. There can be a work in might and power that is not fully of the Holy Spirit. Samson ministered in power, although he was out of vital fellowship with the Holy God. God demands holiness from all who would serve him to his satisfaction. Finally, we want to say that Christian work is acceptable in his sight and satisfies his heart only to the extent to which it is in harmony with his will and under his direction. Every work that is outside his will and direction is not only useless, it is an abomination to him. Too many believers today are doing nothing for the Lord. They are shy and withdrawn and lack boldness and a clear sense of direction. Where are those who would dare to step out of his command and take entire villages, towns, provinces, nations, and continents for him? Where are those who would seek great things for him? My prayer is that the Lord of the harvest should use these messages to raise servants and slaves unto his glorious Son, and that such will start in his presence and, as he directs, end in the uttermost parts of the world. Lord Jesus, ignore the weaknesses and shortcomings both of these messages and of the human messenger, and use them, Lord, for your glory. Zacharias Tani Fomum. You can connect with the author through social media on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram, on the author website, online bookshop, free online Bible courses, internet radio, and podcast. We equally offer on-ground and remote training courses all year round from basic to university level at the University of Prayer and Fasting, WUPF, and the School of Knowing and Serving God, SKSG. You are highly welcome to enroll at your soonest convenience, or maybe our online course will be much handy. About the author, Zacharias Tani Fomum, 1945 to 2009. Founding Leader, Christian Missionary Fellowship International, CMFI. Professor Zacharias Tani Fomum was born in the flesh on 20th June, 1945, and became born again on 13th June, 1956. On 1st October 1966, he consecrated his life to the Lord Jesus and to his service, and was filled with the Holy Spirit on 24 October 1970. He was taken to be with the Lord on 14 March 2009. Professor Fomum was admitted to a first class in the Bachelor of Science degree, graduating as a prize-winning student from Fora Bay College in the University of Sierra Leone in October 1969. At the age of 28, he was awarded a Ph.D. in organic chemistry by the University of Makerere, Kampala, in Uganda. In October 2005, he was awarded a Doctor of Science, DSC, by the University of Durham, Great Britain. This higher doctorate was in recognition of his distinct contributions to scientific knowledge through research. As a professor of organic chemistry in the University of Yaounde 1, Cameroon, Professor Fomum supervised or co-supervised more than 100 master's degree and doctoral degree theses and co-authored over 160 scientific articles in leading international journals. He considered Jesus Christ the Lord of science, for by him all things were created, Colossians 1:16, and scientific research as an act of obedience to God's command to subdue the earth, Genesis 1:28. He therefore made the Lord Jesus the director of his research laboratory while he took the place of deputy director, and attributed his outstanding success as a scientist to Jesus' revelational leadership. In more than 40 years of Christian ministry, Professor Fomum traveled extensively preaching the gospel, planting churches, and training spiritual leaders. He made more than 700 missionary journeys within Cameroon, which ranged from 1 day to 3 weeks in duration. 500 missionary journeys to more than 70 different nations in all the 6 continents. These ranged from 2 days to 6 weeks in duration. By the time of his going to be with the Lord in 2009, he had preached in over 1,000 localities in Cameroon, sent over 200 national missionaries into many localities in Cameroon, and planted over 1,300 churches in the various administrative provinces of Cameroon. At his base in Yaoundé, he planted and built a megachurch with his co-workers, which grew to a steady membership of about 12,000. Professor Fomum was a founding team leader of Christian Missionary Fellowship International, CMFI, an evangelism, soul-winning, disciple-making, church-planting, and missionary-sending movement with more than 200 international missionaries and thousands of churches in 65 nations spread across Africa, Europe, the Americas, Asia, and Oceania. In the course of their ministry, Professor Fomum and his team witnessed more than 10,000 recorded healing miracles performed by God in answer to prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. These miracles include instant healings of headaches, cancers, HIV/AIDS, blindness, deafness, dumbness, paralysis, madness, and new teeth and organs received. Professor Fomum read the entire Bible more than 60 times, read more than 1,350 books on the Christian faith, and authored over 150 books to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. 5 million copies of these books are in circulation in 12 languages, as well as 16 million gospel tracts in 17 languages. Professor Fomum was a man who sought God. He spent between 15 minutes and 6 hours daily alone with God in what he called daily dynamic encounters with God. During these daily dynamic encounters with God, he read God's Word, meditated on it, listened to God's voice, heard God speak to him, recorded what God was saying to him, and prayed it through. He thus had over 18,000 daily dynamic encounters with God. He also had over 60 periods of withdrawing to seek God alone for periods that ranged from 3 to 21 days, which he termed retreats for spiritual progress. The time he spent seeking God slowly transformed him into a man who hungered, thirsted, and panted after God. His unceasing heart cry was, "Oh, that I would have more of God." Professor Fomum was a man of prayer and a leading teacher on prayer in many churches and conferences around the world. He considered prayer to be the most important work that can be done for God and for man. He was a man of faith who believed that God answers prayer. He kept a record of his prayer requests and had over 50,000 recorded answers to prayer in his prayer books. He carried out over 100 prayer walks of between 5 and 47 kilometers in towns and cities around the world. He and his team carried out over 57 prayer crusades, periods of 40 days and nights during which at least 8 hours are invested into prayer each day. They also carried out over 80 prayer sieges, times of near nonstop praying that ranges from 24 hours to 120 hours. He authored the Prayer Power series, a 13-volume set of books on various aspects of prayer, supplication, fasting, intercession, and spiritual warfare. He started prayer chains, prayer rooms, prayer houses, national and continental prayer movements in Cameroon and other nations. He worked with leaders of local churches in India to disciple and train more than 2 million believers. Professor Fomum also considered fasting as one of the weapons of Christian spiritual warfare. He carried out over 250 fasts, ranging from 3 days to 40 days, drinking only water or water supplemented with soluble vitamins. Called by the Lord to a distinct ministry of intercession, he pioneered fasting and prayer movements and led in battles against principalities and powers obstructing the progress of the gospel and God's global purposes. He was enabled to carry out 3 supra, long fasts of between 52 and 70 days, in his final years. Professor Foeman chose a lifestyle of simplicity and self-imposed poverty in order to invest more funds into the critical work of evangelism, soul-winning, church planting, and the building up of believers. Knowing the importance of money and its role in the battle to reach those without Christ with the glorious gospel, he and his wife grew to investing 92.5% of their earned income from all sources, salaries, allowances, royalties, and cash gifts, into the gospel. They invested with the hope that, as they grew in the knowledge and love of the Lord and the perishing souls of people, they would one day invest 99% of their income into the gospel. He was married to Prisca Zay Foeman, and they had 7 children who are all involved in the work of the gospel, some serving as missionaries. Prisca is a national and international minister specializing in the winning and discipling of children to Jesus Christ. She also communicates and imparts the vision of ministry to children with a view to raising and building up ministers to them. The professor owed all that he was and all that God had done through him to the unmerited favor and blessing of God, and to his worldwide army of friends and co-workers. He considered himself nothing without them and the blessing of God, and would have amounted to nothing but for them. All praise and glory to Jesus Christ. This has been book number 6 in the Christian Way series, The Way of Spiritual Power, written by Zacharias Tanny Foeman, narrated by Gerald Zimmerman. Copyright 1984 by Zacharias Tanny Foeman. Production copyright 2018 by ZTF Books Online.